This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
April is Autism Awareness Month, and if you've been living in the world with somebody with autism, it seems we're becoming more and more aware, and I hope accepting of autism. New interventions, new understandings, new therapies have, I hope, made life easier for parents and their children who are dealing with autism. But it's still tough. Can you imagine what it would be like to be shamed in public for your skills as a parent when your child with autism was actually having an episode? Monique Kane is the mother of two children diagnosed with autism.
Yes, so my two children, Maddie and Thomas. Maddie is now 10 years old and Thomas is 7.
To help explain the special needs of her daughter in kindergarten, Monique wrote a book that's become the Everyday Autism series. And now, to try and help other parents working around a diagnosis of autism, Monique has written of her experience on the emotional roller coaster of being an autism parent. The book is called Never Give Up. And Monique Kane, you began this book with an apology to your children.
Yes, so I just wanted to apologise to them because in the beginning I really didn't understand what was going on with them, and I had no idea what autism was or how it affected them, and I was really struggling emotionally as well. I just wanted to apologise for how I was at that time too. I really had to work on myself and my own happiness so that I could help them to be happy too.
Because I guess having that initial diagnosis for your daughter was pretty tough.
It was. It was a massive shock. I mean, we knew something wasn't right, but certainly not to that extent. I mean, we were told she would need 30 to 40 hours a week of therapy, and we just had absolutely no idea what we were going to be able to do to help her to that capacity. And since then, I've learnt that you do go through a grieving process, which I didn't really get at the time because, you know, you have expectations about how your life is going to be and how your children will be and how you'll be as a parent, and things don't always go to plan. So it just took a long time to kind of accept that that was what our life was going to be. I mean, before our daughter Maddie was diagnosed, I had absolutely no idea what autism was or what it was all about. So it did take us a long time to really get to know how she was feeling and how we could best help her.
That's a tough road for a parent. That's kind of like an emergency university degree in a couple of months, isn't it?
It is. Well, going on sort of 7 years now, we're still learning. We're still learning all the time, and then things change and then you need to learn new things. So definitely is an ongoing process.
In one sense, your son is a little bit luckier because you knew what was going on.
Yeah, kind of.
You started to notice some things going similarly for him.
Yes, but everyone is different. Like everyone on the spectrum is different and they're affected in so many varying degrees. So with my daughter, it was probably a lot more obvious looking back now because she didn't show much eye contact. She was kind of trapped in her own world. She had the severe language delay. But with my son, he was more interactive and he seeked more attention. And it was only really that his speech wasn't developing, and then we were sort of noticing a few of the sensory issues. So not leaving it too late, because we knew how important then early intervention was. So we got the ball rolling straight away and had him assessed as well. There is a huge misconception about what autism is all about. And yeah, back in the day, they were just naughty kids and they weren't intelligent.
How hard was it as an ordinary mum and an ordinary dad that really hadn't had much to do with the world of autism? How difficult was it for you to come in and embrace that world? Because like it or not, they're your children.
Exactly.
And you have to be able to be there with them.
You do. And coming from people, both my husband and I were quite good at sport and we did okay at school. And then to have your children really struggling with all those sort of things, it is really emotional and it is really confronting. But you just, you know, have to learn to reevaluate your lives and realize what's really important and just appreciate all the little things. So simple word or hug or eye contact for us is just means everything. So
friends and family try and be helpful and reassuring with advice like, just give it a bit of time. Why don't you try being more strict? But that is just not helpful.
Really doesn't help. I mean, I know that they are trying to be helpful and they're trying to be positive, which is a good thing, but they knew as much about autism as us, which was pretty much nothing in the beginning. So it's been a big learning curve for everyone. And to really just be there as a support for us and our children was the most important thing.
All children at some point need to learn to control their emotions, but children with autism sometimes have a much harder path to develop that control.
And that's what people are so quick to judge, that you just have naughty kids. They don't actually understand the fact that there's all these other things affecting them and they can't control their behaviour and they don't know how to deal with their emotions. So it takes time for everyone, for the children to learn how to behave more appropriately and learn the skills to calm themselves and help themselves. And then, as a parent, you really have to try and be patient and just understand more where they're coming from.
And you had a couple of instances. One guy chasing you down on a motor scooter to tell you that you're
the golf buggy.
A bad mother.
Yes.
That must have been charming.
It was terrible. And to think that this person followed me to my own home to abuse me about my parenting skills when I was already in a really bad place dealing with my emotions anyway. And I had a stranger judging me about my parenting. It was just absolutely horrendous.
One of the things that your daughter has difficulty with, and you describe, if she gets water on her clothes is...
Yes.
And ripping her clothes off in the middle
just
of the bank.
Just naked, down the street, in the bank, yes. We've had a few incidences like that. So we've learnt to always be prepared now. So we have what we call as a survival backpack, and we take it absolutely everywhere we go and have a change of clothes, favourite snacks and toys and iPads and all those sort of things that you may need in the case of an unexpected meltdown.
Have you learned more about what the world must look like for your son and daughter? Can you imagine what it would be like for them?
It is hard to imagine, but I kind of look at it thinking as Superman with all those superpowers of he's seriously sensitive and he hears all the voices and noises are extremely loud. And so I try to sort of imagine that that's what that's like for them. And, you know, there's so many anxieties and things that build up from all those situations. I just try and look at it like that from that point of view, that all their senses are seriously heightened and how hard that must be to try and deal with those situations.
And you also describe it as, you know, imagine that you sort of just dropped into the middle of a foreign city, no one speaks your language, you don't know where you're going, and how do you know who to trust?
Exactly. And that's why you need such a supportive group of people that you can trust around you. So we've been so lucky to have great teachers and aides and support workers that we can trust and that have our kids' best interest at heart to help them.
Part of survival is finding a tribe.
Absolutely is.
Your family has to stick with you, but how have you found people to help?
Oh, well, you definitely need professionals. I mean, yes, family and friends are paramount, but professionals give you the tools that you need to really help your children. And they also give you little goals to focus on and work towards, because it is really overwhelming. There's so many different aspects that you can be working on. And so you're all feeling a little bit lost. They give you some little goals to really focus on and work on at home. And then once you achieve those goals, it's the most amazing feeling. And then those little goals are all working towards bigger things in life as well.
Tell us about the autism community that exists. Tell us what it's like to be welcomed into that community.
Oh, yes, it is a huge community. And it's funny because there's sort of like this unwritten chemistry that you have with everyone, and everyone's just so keen to help everyone. And it really does take a whole team of people to help you. As bad as that makes you feel as a parent, there's ABA therapy, speech therapy, OTs, aides, teaching assistants, music therapy, dance therapy. Like, there's so many different things that you can do now to help your child. And I think because the spectrum is so broad, there's so many things to help all those different necessary degrees and scenarios.
I understand now that it's much more prevalent for cinemas to have special movie nights.
Yes, we just went to a sensory-friendly movie session the other day, actually. So where lighting is it's not that dark and where the sound is lower, so it doesn't quite affect people as badly. Yeah, and definitely all the supermarkets are getting involved. There's a sensory Santa where kids can go to get their photos and they're all aware now. I think, yeah, society in general has definitely come a long way in helping us to integrate into the world.
Monique, sometimes it must be really hard to be friends with families whose children are not on the spectrum. I mean, on the one hand, they're complaining about their children talking too much. That must have been incredibly hard for you.
Oh, it's really difficult because, you know, we don't have those issues with our children and you kind of feel a little bit cheated or defeated and you're not experiencing those things. But as hard as that is, now I try and put a really positive spin on that and think, oh, well, I'm not dealing with all those issues with the kids of dobbing on my kids or my kids doing the wrong thing. Our kids tend to just, they're happy on their own and playing by themselves and doing their own thing. And yeah, they don't really speak a lot. So we're not dealing with all those annoying aspects. It is hard, and I don't think people really realise how autism parents are feeling in those situations. And not that you want your friends for them to have to behave differently or act differently. It's just that whole awareness, I think.
One of the things that you discover as your children get older is that your heart is in a state of constant anxiety about how they're going to manage the situations like kindergarten and navigating friendships. And
yes,
you've been really lucky with your daughter.
Yes, she's got a very special friend. And my daughter Maddie still really struggles verbally. So I think kids have really found that quite difficult and confronting. But this little girl just really loves her for her. And just they like all the same sort of similar things. And she just wants to spend time with her. And she understands if Maddie might need a break or if she's, you know, giving her a really strong, vigorous hug. She just kind of gets it. And she's even written her own Maddie books about autism. I think that just goes again about the whole awareness and education. And I think some people have just got that special element. But yeah, and she's even talked about that when she grows up, she'd like to be a support worker or a teacher aide in the future.
Monique, when you were trying to help the kindergarten teachers and the other children understand your daughter, you wrote a book, which has turned into something pretty special.
It has. That's where it all sort of started. Maddie was struggling and the kids and teachers would always question about how they could understand and help her more. And then in particular, when a little boy in my daughter's kindergrade said that Maddie was dumb and Maddie didn't know anything, I really didn't know what to say, especially to a five-year-old. And I just sort of said, oh, look, you know, Maddie's not dumb. She just doesn't talk very much. And, you know, and I'd just been learning about all of her reasons for her behaviour and all that sort of stuff too. So I, yeah, then started writing, and writing had already become a great source of therapy for me. So I wrote a poem, and then this poem turned into a story. And I thought, if I actually put photos together of Maddie with this story, that kids and teachers might understand her better. So I went online and put the book together and then took it into the classroom, and the teacher absolutely loved it. She read it out to the class and said it really helped them to understand Maddie more, and they kept it in the classroom too in case of any kids had questions and they could use that as a really valuable resource. Then Maddie went off to school the following year, and instantly I just thought, well, I'll show her teachers the book. And then the teacher showed the principal, and the principal had every teacher in the school read it to their grades. So then they would be more aware of Maddie, but then they, yeah, would be more understanding of all kids that acted a little bit different. So it all just kind of snowballed from there after that.
Do you think that that's made life a bit easier for Maddie?
Oh, certainly has. I know some parents are not comfortable with disclosing their child's diagnosis, but I mean, for us, it was a little bit more obvious that Maddie was different. For us, it just explains how Maddie is feeling and why she reacts the way she does in certain situations.
that little boy was wrong.
Exactly. That's right. And that is one of the misconceptions, yeah. isn't it, that people think people on the spectrum or with autism are not intelligent, which that is really not the case. It's just that she just struggles to get it out of her. It's all in there and we know it's there because we've seen glimpses of it and she's just constantly making progress all the time. It's just, yeah, it's that whole getting it out when you're affected by all these other things that are going on.
There is a school of thought that the world's greatest inventors and the reasons yes. that we are not still sitting in caves, for example, are all because of people with autism
exactly.
who do view the world differently.
That's right. And I think they've really followed their interests, and that is something that we've tried to do with our children, working on their likes and what they're passionate about. And encouraging that. And yeah, I think obviously that's what happened with all the really intelligent scientists and things like that too, that they were just so focused and into their intense like that they produced these amazing results.
After initially finding that early diagnosis, what would you say to other parents who maybe there's a little suspicion lurking deep in their hearts that they're just too afraid to yeah. step into?
I know it is very daunting, and as we said before, no one really wants there to be anything wrong with their child, but it's really at the detriment to your child if you're not doing anything about it, because there is so much help available now these days, and especially with the NDIS, it's all affordable because you can get funding for therapies and things like that now, and it's all about educating yourself and your child. It just makes your life so much better and so much easier.
It is a bit of a full-time job.
It is.
Apart from the help that's available, you are still probably, as the parent, are the one that knows the best about what's going to work for your child.
Exactly. And it is a 24/7 job. I mean, yes, you know, we can go to our weekly appointments or all these therapies, but then it's putting what you learn into practice at home as well. Our children are still not very independent, and we're still encouraging speech and encouraging learning. It is hard because your life can't be one big therapy session, as our original speech therapist tried to instill in me, which I've never forget that comment. So it's all about trying to find a balance, but then trying to incorporate learning just into your every day-to-day lives.
World Autism Day, what do you want people to understand on this particular day? And I think April actually is Autism Month too.
Yes, it is a whole month of awareness. So I just really want to for people to be more kind and friendly and not be so quick to pass judgment, because you really don't know what is going on with someone. There might be reasoning behind someone's behaviour, then, you know, not just naughty kids. And it really doesn't help when people are judging you. So if you can just be kind and friendly and show any support that you can, you know, that really does help everyone.
How would you recommend other families, say, approach a family with an autistic child? Maybe you have noticed that family sort of a bit isolated at a school event or something like that. How do you go in and make friends or help your children to make friends?
Yeah, it is hard, and unfortunately it does take time, and you really just have to visually judge that situation just by saying hi or even a smile. You know, we have found using a high five or something is you know, quite fun and still interactive. Just even sitting next to a person, you know, you're not necessarily having to verbally interact, but just sitting near them and just getting them used to somebody in their space. And you'll find that after time too, they'll want to interact with you. You really got to like gauge the situation, because sometimes people on the spectrum want to be by themselves and they need that quiet time.
Maybe parents just want somebody else to talk to occasionally too.
Oh, exactly. That's right. One of the most important things is talking to other autism parents, because they actually understand what you're going through and they're probably experiencing a lot of the same emotions that you are and challenges with your children. So it's good to bounce off ideas and talk about different therapies and what people have done. That was a really helpful thing for us when our daughter Maddie was first diagnosed, because we didn't know who to see or what to do. And the professor professionals give you a few names of people to see, but actually coming from someone who has experienced that, we found that really helpful.
We now talk about autism as being a spectrum, and you've even noticed between your two children, they have different types of autism, like, you know,
yes,
different things set them off. And so there may be a kid that sort of looks pretty integrated in your child's class, but they could very well be on the spectrum as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, that's right. There is such a broad spectrum, and everyone is affected to varying degrees. And there is high functioning where, yeah, you would not even know that there was anything going on with them, and they keep it together in that maybe school sense or work sense. But then when they get home, they need to release all that tension and anxious energy. And that's what I've found hard with my children, is that there's no visual disability. So that's why people are so quick to judge them on their behaviour.
Because your kids just look normal.
Yes.
And they're just like, why isn't that child wearing shoes? Or
exactly,
why are they chucking a Nana at
that's
the
supermarket?
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that does make it a bit harder.
It does. And then you feel like, you know, you're a failure as a parent as well, because you can't get your child to wear shoes, or they won't wear a jumper even if it's cold. And then you've got these other people questioning your parenting as well. So it really is mentally challenging all the time.
One of the tough things about diagnosing autism is that it seems to me, and definitely shoot me down in flames if I'm wrong, it seems to me that babies tend to start on an ordinary path. And then something seems to switch on at a certain point and they seem to regress.
Yes.
Which is part of what I suspect gave rise to that stupid immunisation myth.
Yes.
But
yes.
Can you talk us through that?
And that's what we found with our daughter, Maddie. She seemed to be developing fine. And it was only, yeah, probably from around 18 months to 2 years that she started to regress. She would eat everything. She would make eye contact. She started to, you know, she was counting to 10 and she was making animal noises and things like that. And then at her second birthday party, I just noticed that she wasn't into playing with the other kids and she wasn't fussed about opening her birthday presents. And I kind of thought that was a bit strange, but you know, didn't know anything more at the time. And then as things went on, yeah, she started to regress even more and became really isolated and wouldn't show eye contact and starting to line things up and be really obsessive about things. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it, to be honest. Yeah, that's what we experienced as well.
You've written the children's books
for
the Everyday Autism series, but you've also written a book for parents, and that's much more personal, and
it's a real
cheer on for parents with children with autism.
It is. I just felt that we had a pretty unique and inspiring story to tell. We know how bad it can be and how bad it was for us, and I just wanted to tell people our story and pass on all the information that we had learned from all the professionals and little tips and tricks that we've adapted along the way just to help other people.
Monique Kane and her book Never Give Up. It's for parents dealing with a diagnosis of autism. And her children's books are called Everyday Autism. And she also has a Facebook page that aims to talk about the struggles and successes, because autism, as we know, is described as being on a spectrum. There are so many ways it can show up. So if you'd like to know more, Monique also blogs about family life to give hope, knowledge and support to other families living with autism. There will be links to all these pages on the Baby Talk website so you can find more information. Baby Talk, one word, should find us online where you can listen to this interview again and our many other podcasts. If you've just discovered Baby Talk, welcome.
Baby Talk is available as a weekly podcast. Find it on the ABC website, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app.
And you can find out more about last week's podcast, which was all about the amazing properties of human breast milk.
I assumed it was all about calories, all about how much fat was in there and so on. But what I've come to understand through studying milk is that it's really an incredibly complex fluid that has lots and lots of cues that tell the baby's organs how to develop and how to develop appropriately. So it's shifted my perception away from it being purely a food to actually being a set of complex developmental patterning tools.
I'm Penny Johnston. I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.